Once every June, I pull myself out of bed at 2:30 a.m., call my friend Kathy Herms on the phone, and the two of us look outside and decide whether the wind is light enough and the probability of rain in the next few hours is low enough to head up toward Brimson to count birds. At least in the very best situations, it's once a year. If it's too windy or raining, we go back to sleep and try again the next day. One year we had four of these false starts before we finally had good enough conditions to go out. This year we lucked out. The first day we both had free turned out to be decent enough for doing my annual breeding bird survey for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's a 45-minute drive to my first stop, and I have to start counting precisely at 4:38 a.m., so we have to be on the road by 3:45 or so. We always see deer along the way, and sometimes thrushes and other birds on the roadsides, so I'm a nervous wreck driving in the dark. It would be ironic indeed to run over birds on my way to conducting a bird survey. The first stops are always magic. Something about standing out on a country road watching the moon and stars while listening to a pre-dawn chorus of birdsong is ethereal and lovely. There is no other time in the entire day when the air is so richly full of song, both collectively with a host of species chiming in and individually with each bird singing a faster, richer song than he sings the rest of the day. This year, the chorus was singularly lacking in robin songs. We saw several and heard several singing males, but far fewer than normal. But even so, those first minutes of song are always richer than I expect. And maybe because of the absence of robins at the first few stops this year, it was easier to hear a soft insect-like call from one nearby field, a LeConte sparrow, my first ever for my breeding bird survey route. Kathy and I saw moose on a few of our first counts back in the late 80s and early 90s, but haven't seen any of those lately. We did see plenty of deer, 10 or so along the 25-mile route, along with the snowshoe hare, red and gray squirrels, and a couple of more surprising mammals. A coyote showed up and actually started to run alongside a truck for a short while. When he ran into a grassy field, another car stopped to look. I got a few photos, and a fisher sat up, its big ears erect, an intelligent, weaselly look on its face, and then it raced across the road like an oversized mink-colored weasel. But of course the whole point of the count and the big joy of counting is the birds. I didn't see as many species as usual, only 44, which was one of our all-time lows. I know it wasn't my hearing. There weren't as many mosquitoes as many years, and just a week before I'd easily heard golden-crowned kinglets, cedar waxwings, and blackburnian warblers, three of the hardest to hear species, and I could also easily hear that silly new ringtone that was apparently designed to be heard by kids but not adults. Whether I just happened to hit my route on a day when birds were all busy feeding babies rather than singing, or whether there really were fewer birds than normal, isn't for me to say. As data from every route is compiled, trends that are far more significant than the results of just one count will give an indication of what's really happening. Last year's hurricanes, which must have killed many, many thousands of birds outright and left behind damaged, toxic habitat where millions of migrants pass through and must feed, probably had a devastating toll on some populations. But for now, we'll have to wait and see and hope that this year and next, birds have really good conditions for replenishing their numbers. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and Binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.